You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The New World Report. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Professor Evan Ellis, the Latin American research professor at the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. Beginning in Haiti, the story, Dateline, Florida, U.S. arrest four more suspects in plot to kill Haitian President Moïse. You will remember in the summer of 21, the president of Haiti was assassinated at his home. The question ever since is, who did it? And then most importantly, why? The motive is everything. And as of now, there are more than 11 people being held either in the United States or in Haiti. The investigation in Haiti has been blunted by fears of judges who've been asked to take the case. Therefore, the announcement by the U.S. authorities is consistent with thorough investigation, given the limits that you're doing this in Florida about something that's happening in Haiti. U.S. federal agents arrested and charged four suspects in Florida for alleged roles in the plot that led to the 2021 assassination. I go to Haiti immediately to describe why it is this news is in Florida and not Port-au-Prince. Last September 2022, according to a report at El País International, last September, the interim leader of Haiti, Prime Minister Ariel Henry, doubled the price of fuel. That led to demonstrations in the streets because there was no subsidy anymore from Venezuela of oil. The demonstrations led to barricades, and a whole part of Port-au-Prince, especially around the port itself, was taken over by what are known as the Federation of Gangs, calling themselves the G9 Family and Allies. Since then, according to this report, there's been open warfare throughout the city. October 5th of 2022, Prime Minister asked for international help in controlling not only the violence around the port. The gangs are fighting for blocks, for turfs, and demanding fees or kidnapping people until they get paid. But there was a cholera outbreak reported. 9 days later, the United Nations issued an alert about catastrophic famine. So there's no food security. There's the suggestion of cholera that is not answered. The gangs are extremely well-armed, so much so that in January, at the beginning of 23, 14 policemen were murdered in over 3 weeks. The police force fell back, defending what it could of its own presence in parts of the city, but no way capable of imposing order in and around the port. I'll stop there because the professor is here to help us understand how this catastrophe is ongoing despite its significant connection to the United States. There's a large, active, healthy Haitian population in the United States, in the diaspora, always has been, longstanding. Haiti is one of the gems of democracy 200 years ago because it rebelled from the French colonial masters in a brutal war that took time but freed the people of Haiti until 200 years later. Well, I just previewed what I can. Professor, beg pardon for the long predicate, but all of this is pressing upon us now. First of all, these arrests and the assassination, do you mark them as significant, or is this the least that can be done to solve Port-au-Prince? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Good to be with you. With respect to the latest arrests, the reality is it's probably a bit of a sideshow. We may never get to exactly who among the many possibilities was actually behind the murder of previous President Jovenel Moise. The latest arrests getting at the security detail, which involves the financing of through Colombian businessmen, Venezuelan businessmen. There are a number of different actors who may have masterminded it. But really, the core is to emphasize what you brought up very well, which is the deteriorating of governance and infrastructure and how these things are really just continuing to cause a deterioration in the living situation for the 12 million people that you currently have in Haiti. And as you also pointed out, the history of difficulties go way back. Haiti, as many other parts of the Caribbean, was contested between multiple colonial powers. Haiti had the distinction, of course, 1802's independence of being the first, black-run independent state, multiple difficulties, political instability. The United States, actually, in response to that instability, had occupied the country from 1915 to 1934. Continuing problems with governance. You had a dictatorial period under a person who was known as Papa Doc and later his son, Baby Doc Duvalier, with basically death squads, something called the Tantan Mokuts. You had a series of different governments up. Long history of trouble. Even the assassinated President Jovenel Moise, his own ascension to the presidency was delayed and contested. And after that assassination in July 2021, that basically left the country with a person who is not elected, Ariel Henry. Although the getting to elections, we are not there yet, and so we have a protracted period in which you essentially have a caretaker, but the gangs that have come to rule Haiti are demanding other types of representation other than just Ariel Henry. But as you also pointed out, in this space with this poor governance, you have a lot of corruption. Indeed, the gang problem was in many ways made much worse by Moise, who arguably fostered the creation of many of these gangs for his own political control. But things have certainly gotten worse. And so today you have over 200 different gangs. There are generally considered two groupings. One, it's actually headed by a previous senior police person, Haitian National Police, Jimmy Cherizet, who goes by the name of Barbecue, which is called G9 and Family. You have a rival group called the GPEP, which is a federation, the biggest of which is a group called the 400 Mawozo, which is famous for massive kidnappings. As you pointed out, John, as other opportunities for legitimate earnings in Haiti dry up to almost zero, kidnapping of even relief workers has become a rampant thing. You've literally had hundreds of people kidnapped in the last 2 years. One of the other things, again, in this criminalized economy that's become a way of earning money is frankly extortion in blockades. And so you had some time ago, the airport was extorted, the road that led to, from the airport to the main city, which was controlled by one of the gangs, was shut down, leading to various supply shortages. More recently, of course, you had the blockade of a major fuel terminal. And because everything in Haiti runs on generators, this is, again, last October, you begin to have major fuel shortages and shortages of other things that depended on fuel and depended on trucks to get it there. And so you've had this just deepening deterioration of the situation to the point where Haiti itself called for United Nations forces who had previously been in the country in some force under MINUSTAH and later a smaller force called MINJUSTA to actually come back. And while you have some countries like for example, the Canadians, sending, some token assets like surveillance aircraft, the key actors such as the United States have been thus far, reluctant to get back involved in that. But also, as you pointed out, the Haitian police, which again is about 10 to 15,000 people, grossly underpaid, very corrupt, is, far less powerful than the many gangs. Indeed, ironically, the police force, reflecting their own horrible situation, themselves went on strike, which adds to the situation with the doctors who have gone on strike and others who have gone on strike. And so in that situation, again, you have just an escalating of other difficulties. And if that weren't enough, again, the testament to the poor public infrastructure situation. You mentioned the cholera outbreak. Back in 2010, cholera had actually killed 9,000 people because of it. Tied to the United Nations force then, but you've had a new cholera outbreak this past September, again, reflecting just a horrible water and sanitary situation. You mentioned, again, with outgunned police in January, just one of many, a series of ambushes in which 14 police were killed, just really kind of illustrate the degree to which it's really the gangs that now control Haiti and not the others. And so, again, this is it's a situation that has always been in dire straits, but it is getting even more dire these days.
Speaking with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College, we've established the horrors of Port-au-Prince in Haiti now, abandoned by what I can see all of the New World national orders. That would be the United Nations, that would be the OAS, that would be the United States of America and its allies, Canada and Mexico. That would be international organizations, NGOs, abandoned. This isn't the year of living dangerously. This is no one living there at all who can help because of the violence. We're going to turn, however, to a story that is part of the Haitian story, which is the migration, the immigration, the flight, the refugees that dominate the story at the U.S. border and will continue to dominate the story until and if. This is the New World Report. I'm John Nash.
You're struggling with your mortgage. You think about it. You don't do anything but think about it.
What are we going to do if we lose the house? Where are we going to go?
At work.
I can't let anybody find out. I'm so embarrassed.
At dinner.
How can I tell the kids? It's going to wreck their lives.
And at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get through this. What's going to happen to us?
It's time to stop thinking. It's time to start dialing. Call 1-888-995-HOPE for a free government program that offers expert one-on-one advice about your mortgage options.
I'm all alone.
No, you're not. We've helped over a million homeowners, and we want to help you. And now there are more ways to help. Call 1-888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom.
I go to school with your children.
We say the Pledge of Allegiance together.
You see me around the neighborhood and you tell me that I'm a pretty good kid.
Well, I'm one out of every five children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger.
This problem is closer than you think. My teacher tells me we can grow up to be whatever we want.
I want to grow up to be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry.
There's enough food in this country to feed everybody.
Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help.
Every dollar you donate helps provide 8 meals for kids like me, quietly struggling with hunger.
Together, we are Feeding America, brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Are you someone who watches every true crime documentary the day that it releases and then find yourself always wanting to know more, Googling the timelines, red flags, and then falling into the social media rabbit hole? Well, I'm here to do all of that for you, bringing the facts, theories, and details that no one else is covering on my hit true crime podcast, Serialistly with Annie Elise. Whether it's everything with the Idaho 4 case now that the documents are unsealed, or shocking cases you've never heard of, packed with love triangles, cults, and twists you won't see coming. With over 1 million downloads a week, I break it down for you just like your best friend would. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.